So much. Thank you all. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm 90. Psalm chapter 90, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 90 and Psalm 90. We're going to read verses 9 through 12, and then I'll pray. But I'll read verse 9. You read verse 10 with me. Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's pray together. Father, as we come as your people tonight, Lord, the prayer that you're teaching us to pray, please teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us apply this truth to our life. Bless each person. Help them, please. And Lord, I know that no one's mastered this, but everyone has to learn it and work at it. So Lord, we ask this, please, tonight. Amen. You can have a seat there. God says to teach us to number our days. And I don't think it's just because I just am getting over getting sick, but when you are closer to dying, you have a tendency to think, what has my life counted for? And if I'm not careful, I'm going to give my time to things that don't matter. Everything we do is not eternal. What I do for Christ is eternal. What I do for the Lord is eternal. Me eating to sustain my life, okay, that's necessary, but it's not eternal, okay? So I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, I don't want my life to have been given to that which does not matter. And that only happens one way. God teaching me how frail I am. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Our life is a vapor. We're here today. We're gone tomorrow. Lord, teach me how frail I am so that my life can count. And that's what he's saying here. Dear God, don't let me give my life to that which isn't going to bring anything. Teach us, Lord, please, teach me to number my days. You know when you're calling me home. It's already on the calendar. You know that, right? And as you obey God, the Bible teaches that that date can lengthen. And as you disobey God, it says that sin does what? Shortens our days. So right now, there's a day set on the calendar when you're going home to be with the Lord. It's not stuck there. It moves based on your life, right? And that's a whole another Bible study. But teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. And if I'm not careful, life's going to happen to me instead of me happening to life. All right? And so God is for things happening in a orderly system. Instead of enjoying work, the average American lives for the time when they won't have to do nothing, whether it's vacation or retirement. And God says work's good because it keeps us out of trouble. You ever hear the statement, an idle mind is what? The devil's workshop? When do you get in the most trouble? When do you misbehave the most? When you have the most free time, okay? You ever notice when you're busy how fast time goes? You ever notice how when you don't have anything to do, everything just lengthens on? Trust me, I was in that hospital bed for 10 stinking days, nine days. And I was just like, oh. And no, you say, well, you got the TV. My neighbor was watching TV. What a stupid, there was nothing on. I did not watch TV. Okay. I just thought, oh, and of course, everything just dragged on. I'm just telling you, tonight, I've heard it said that 90% of your problems in life can be solved with two things. And I believe this after being a pastor for years. Two things will solve 90% of your problem. A budget and a schedule. What's a budget? All a budget is figuring out how you're going to spend your money before you get your money. It's predetermining, before I have cash in hand, this is how my money has to be spent. You say, well, what's the option? The option is what most people do. Most don't live by a budget. They get their money, get what they want, and then run out of, there's not enough money at the end of the month. No, before you hit next month, you say, this is my expenses, this is the things I need, and then these are the things I want. Most people reverse it if there's no budget. Everybody understand? The first thing they get when they get their paycheck is, this is what I want. So that's a budget, and budget's very important. And these things tie together. Now let's think about a schedule. All a schedule is predetermining how you're going to spend your time before the time gets here. That's all a schedule is. And how disciplined you are determines how much you can let it rule you. There's three things that ought to rule your life. You ready? The Bible being the first one. We know the Bible's the boss, but is the Bible your boss? That determines your Christianity. Oh, yeah, the Bible's God's word. Yeah, it's an eternal book. Always has been, always will be. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the Bible. Yeah, it's no book like it. How much does it control you? How much do you allow it to be an authority in your life? Same thing with a budget. I can't spend that because that my budget won't allow me. Well, a budget's what? A piece of paper. No piece of paper is ruling my life. I tell myself what to do. And that's why you're in debt. That's why credit card can get out of hand. So three things that ought to rule your life: the Bible, your budget, and your schedule. You ever hear somebody say, I can't do that because I have this appointment? You say, well, what's the appointment? That's none of your business. I have an appointment. I have predetermined how I'm going to spend my time. You say, why teaching like this? Well, when you're, this might be my fault because I'm trying to get my life back on track and I can't do what I used to do, but I got to figure out what I can do. And there's still things that have to be done. So it's forced me to prioritize, and I have to leave undone what's least important. And each week, as I get a little better, I can add things I want to do, but couldn't do, and should do. I can put those back on the list. By God's grace, this week I want to start exercising. That is such a big word to me. And then, no, I'm not going to lift weights. I'm just going to mobility and stretching and working at getting, you know, taking care of the body. The reason I'm telling you that, schedule should be very important. Depression always comes to unplanned, undisciplined people. And the more unplanned and undisciplined you are, the more depressed you are. That's a fact that is unarguable, okay? You should have a written plan on every area of your life, and by failing to plan, you're planning to fail. Nothing naturally goes well. Have you noticed that about our sin-cursed world? Everything, Murphy's Law, that can go wrong, it will. We live in a sin-cursed world. Well, I don't budget my money. I just see how it all works out, and it never does. Well, I don't schedule my time. I just, here's a classic. I don't live by a schedule. I'm led by the Lord. I've heard that one. Trust me. I've heard that several times. I haven't heard that in a while, but I have heard that. I can't help but snicker when I hear that. Oh, so God's your excuse for not disciplining your life. That's interesting. Neat twist on it. Tonight, know this, the disciples were disciplined ones. Your life cannot be, que sera, sera, whatever will be. Some people, that's their life's verse. I just live from day to day and live the fullness. Woo! Yeah, that's what, see, that's a philosophy that people had before they got saved and they were smoking dope. Do you understand? You can't live life that way. Planning is the key to controlling your actions. And the old statement is still true. Every minute you plan, you save 30 minutes of execution time. Planning identifies your priorities. Planning prioritizes your daily actions. And there's no more miserable human being to whom nothing is habitual and they live every day in indecision. What am I going to do today? Then they get up tomorrow. What am I going to do today? No purpose. No focal point. That's all set. It should be set. You should have priorities in your life. Your God should be a priority. Your family should be a priority. Work has to be a priority. I don't think it's your number one priority, but it has to be a priority, right? School has to be a priority. Your service to God needs to be a priority. You need to put it on paper. When do you do those things? The two things that God makes us a steward over is our money and our time, is money and time. all the money you have in your lifetime, God gave you. No, I worked for it. No, God gave it to you. And you're going to give an account to God for how you spent all of it. All of it. If a budget burdens you, start in reverse. Just spend this week writing down what you spend your money on. You'll shock yourself. You'll blow your own head. Wow, I did that. You know, I bought that many. I ate out that much. I did that this much. Just write down what you spend. Then you'll see the need for you to get a budget. Okay? Most people don't have no idea. Well, your money comes from God and your time comes from God. Think about it just for a second. Your time is your life because life is measured by time. You predetermining how you're going to spend your time is you putting your life on paper. That's why it's so important. You're going to, okay, take your Bible and go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, kind of a, boy, even the world knows, I've heard this quoted many times, and it's not quoted as much as Matthew 7, you know, judge not lest you be judged. You know, that's probably Hollywood's famous verse to quote. That thou shalt not kill. Oh, yeah, and Jesus turned the water into wine. Okay, so they got, Hollywood has their, you know, cliches. But this passage right here is a wonderful passage to think about. Look at Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. That means our lives have to have planning in it, because bad things are going to happen. Emergencies happen. Car wrecks happen. People passing happens. And dealing with it, God says there's a time for everything under heaven. He knows all of it. Okay? So as you read this, watch this. Just read a little bit more. It says, verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Boy, some people need to memorize that verse. That's a joke. I wish you'd have heard it. Okay. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Watch this. What profit hath he that worketh in all in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Watch, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You'll never figure it all out. It'll never be tweaked enough. God won't allow you to structure yourself so much that you don't need him. There'll always be emergencies, things you weren't planning on, the time to kill, a time to, you know, time to weep, time to laugh. There's always negative with the positive, and none of us have, we all have negative to experience that we're not in control of. We're going to have to trust the Lord. In other words, I like the statement, you should attempt to schedule your life, but you'll never have it all figured out. There has to be, it's so you can do what God wants you to do and you need the Lord. Take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 1. Watch this. One more thing. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 26. I'm going to give you a few words that I think you ought to underline and then think about. Okay, ready? Genesis 1 and verse 26. Watch this. God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness. And let them have, you see that word dominion? You should underline that word. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God gave us dominion over the earth when he created us. So that's Adam. I know. Look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Notice verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And you see the word subdue? Underline that word subdue. And subdue it. And have, one more time, dominion. Underline that word dominion. Over the, and then he's going to list them again, the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God says, your life and mine, you're supposed to have dominion over your life. Remember I said you can either let life happen to you or you happen to life. Life is not supposed to be controlling you. If it does, you're not doing what God told you to do. You're supposed to get a hold of your life and have dominion and subdue it. Well, there's just so much happening. Okay? If your job's that bad, have you prayed for another one? Well, it's my job. Have you asked God if it's that bad? And some are, right? There's some jobs you don't need to stay at. If it's that bad, ask God to help you. But quit using as an excuse why your life is out of whack. Because how long are you going to do that? You know, well, it's my boss. Okay, well, you said that last year and the year before. You're supposed to have dominion and subdue your life. God made you. Watch this. When you're not in control of what's going on, you're not happy. Because God made you to subdue and have dominion. And when this is happening and when you're out of control, that's depression. That is when life is so hectic, then you need to stop and get control of your life. Have dominion. Very important words as we think about this tonight. Now, look at the piece of paper like it's normal. Okay. Don't go. Okay. Now, why would I say that? Some people have never put their life on paper. Well, I know when I got to be at work. And then that's it. But as far as if you ever put your money on paper, what you spend it on, what you're going to, it'll blow your mind. There's a lot of people, I'm not saying all, but there's so many people that have never done that. It opens up a whole new world. Just the idea, now let's go to time. When you put your life on paper, now, this is my favorite way of doing thing at half-hour schedule, half-hour segments. I've seen some people's schedules that's 15-minute segments. They don't like half hour. They're like, half hour? That's a world. Okay. I've seen some people with 10 minutes. Watch this. For some people, this freaks them out. 30 minutes. They cannot function. This is their schedule. Morning, lunch, afternoon, evening. That's all they can handle. To break something down and everybody's got to start somewhere, right? So I'm not trying to overwhelm you as much as I am trying to say, this piece of paper is very important. Now, I did this on the computer. I realize most could do this, and there's stuff you can get online, so this is nothing hard to do. However, look on the back, okay? How to make a schedule. This is something you have to sit down and do. I can help you, but I'm not trying to schedule your life and run your time, and I'm not trying to run your money either. But if you want to be happy, you need to. So how do you do it? Then you ask yourself the question, when's the best time for me to read my Bible and pray? I'll tell you, for most, and when you read your Bible, in the morning, O Lord, will I seek thee. For most, it's morning. I didn't give you a time. I just say, for most, starting their day with God is where it needs to be. Well, I read my Bible every night before I go to bed. I've met only 3 people in my life that do that and are consistent. Okay? You may do so. And I didn't say it's a sin to do so. Let me ask you the question again. When's the best time tomorrow for you to read your Bible? Me, I tried to read mine when I got up. I heard somebody say first thing, I hit the alarm, and then I grabbed my Bible. And I tried that. That doesn't work for me. I grabbed my Bible. I knelt down, and I drooled all over my Bible. Okay? I short-circuited on Jesus. It did not work for me. I have to get up, shower, get dressed, all that. Then, blood is circulating, and then I can read my Bible. Amen? But when's the best time for you to read your Bible tomorrow? Then put that on there. We're watching a whole generation of kids, college age, 20s, even some in their 30s. They get up in the morning just in time to get to work, get dressed on the way out the door, and then they go, and they're like, well, and that's how they're living their life. No allowance for traffic. No allowance for, do you know, in the morning, regardless of whether you work third shift or first, your body has a timer and it cleanses itself every morning. Does not matter if you're third shift or not. No allowance for that. No allowance to take in water. No allowance to eat. Well, I'll get something. No allowance for, they literally leave the house just enough time to get out of bed. That type of a lifestyle will eventually destroy you. So I wrote down some questions because I used to teach teenagers this, but it's good for everybody. How about this? How much time should I spend reading my Bible? If you've never done it on a regular basis, I would think 20 minutes is a good start. You got to start somewhere. How much time should I spend in prayer? I would think 10 minutes is a good start. If you've never done it on a regular basis, set a time. then put it in the schedule. How about this? How much time do I need to get ready for school or work? How much time do I need to eat in the morning? I've got my time down. I need about 15 minutes. And I don't poke and choke. You know what I mean? He used to call it in the Marine Corps, eating duck. Duck in, duck out. Okay? I can eat in about 15, every once in a while, 20 minutes to just enjoy my coffee and my breakfast. I right around there. Okay? Any shorter than that. And we're Russian. And I am not Russian. I'm Hungarian. That was a joke. All right. What time? How much time do I need to get to work or school on time? Why would you leave your house just in time to get to work? Because what's everybody? It's traffic. So you made no allowance for traffic during rush hour. And then it happens day after day. When are you going to change? Do you like that? Do you like being late? Then fix it. Okay? How about this? How much? Okay? Ask yourself the question. When are my soul winning times? When do I go out soul winning? Now, for us here, we used to do it on Tuesday nights. People are getting more and more scared. And I understand we have found here Saturday mornings is the best time to go soul winning. It's people's shopping's day. We leave here at 10. We get back at 12. It's working good for us. Nighttime soul winning is good really only if we have an appointment, because people don't like you knocking on their door when it's dark. Okay? That's just it. But we do go soul winning. Is it in your schedule? How about this? When am I in church? That ought to be set in stone. If this morning's Sunday school lesson on why Thomas doubted because he wasn't in church. There are things that don't move in my life. Church is one of them. It's never up for grabs. Well, if I get a phone call, I tell that. Well, here's a classic. Well, during the holidays, if we have family in, then, you know, when family's in with us, I make the same announcement. I'm going to church. You say, you do that because you're the pastor. I did it before I was a pastor. We go to church in this house. I'm not going to drag you behind the car. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't want. Yeah, okay. But in this house, I go to church. It's not up for grabs. I'll be back in about an hour and a half. Don't light anything on fire. I'm just saying, why should family keep you out of church when they're needing you to keep a testimony, especially during the holidays? Okay. So when am I in church? That's how come I thought I could put that on the schedule and it would be unpushy. Okay. All right. So watch this. A few more questions here. What time do I need to go to bed? If you work a regular job, here's what they're learning. If you work a regular job, you should have a set time of going to bed. And for most, it should be somewhere between 9 and 11. And they're finding out if you're staying up till 1 and 2 in the morning, you're not doing any good. The internet and the pornography is rampant in our society. Well, I'm sure you were planning your day. Right. It's not working that way. Everybody needs a set time to go to bed. My dad used to say in our house, 9 o'clock hit, okay, bedtime. Now, you had a half hour to get ready for bed, but you needed to be working at it. No more TV, no more nothing. All I'm telling you is this, for you to control your life, when's yours? Do you have one? There has to be one if you're going to discipline yourself. I like this statement, and kind of watching some things, some videos on it, and some reading up on it. They do say the safest sleep is before 11 o'clock. And the best, so it needs to be, you need to be asleep by 11, okay, is what they're saying to get a good night's rest. But I know there's people now in the day of internet, they're staying up till 1, 2 in the morning, and it's wrong what they're doing. Here we go. What duties am I expected to do so I can learn to be responsible and a help instead of a complainer? In other words, married people need dates. There should be chores for children. There should be honey-do lists for husbands. Amen? Now, I don't get my wife's honey-do list done all the time, but praise God, this past Thursday, I got 3 of them done. Amen? Okay? And I got to surprise her, and I got a kiss on the lips. Amen for that. Okay? Now, if you're going to schedule your life before you put things in time slots, ask yourself the question. There's 3 categories. List the things that I must do. What does my God require of me? Do justly, that you love mercy, and you walk humbly with your God. That's what God requires. Let me restate the word require. That's what your God demands, right? Okay? So list the things I have to do, I must do. Then list the things I have to do, okay? I have to go to work. Right? There's things I have to do. that should come after this list. So list them. What is it you have to do? Then what are the things you want to do? And list those. Now you're ready to fill out your sheet once you've answered those questions. You put your bedtime in. You put your wake-up time. You put your eating times in. And I gave you color codes at the bottom. It's what I use when I do my schedule. Okay? You don't have to use it if you've got your own system. Why is this so important? You can't be in charge of your life until you put it on paper and have dominion and subdue your life. And then just like this is your boss, your budget is your boss, it tells you what to do, and this is your boss. My schedule will allow me to do this, and it will not allow me to. And there's nothing wrong with telling people, I can't do that. I have appointments, but we can try to talk about it and work about it next week. There's nothing wrong with spontaneous fun and stuff like that. But life should not be spontaneous. Life should have a planned order to it. Let all things be done decently in order. How come I'm hitting this topic tonight? To whatever degree I can encourage you to get control of your life and put it on paper is the degree you'll enjoy life much better. And the depression will go out the way. Look at the bottom there. There's one thing. Right where it says, remember, you always do what's most important to you and then figure out when to do the rest. Everybody see that? Right under the word, beneath the words, remember. It's on the back of the sheet right there. It's the first statement. Brother Heil said that when I was in Bible college. And he said, you always do what you want to do because this is America. Now, the America's mine, okay? I Brother Nashitized, okay? But this is America, and everybody does what they want to do. Let me illustrate this. You ready? Do you know what you did last week instead of read your Bible? You did what you wanted to do. Well, no, I'm supposed to read my Bible. But you didn't because you didn't want to. It wasn't a priority. Well, as soon as you face that fact, then you can fix it. Well, I read my Bible when I get a chance. You won't. Have you noticed that? Well, I'll work it in. You won't. Tonight, I wanted to help you because this helps me. All right? And I am adding to my schedule, okay? And I'm adding more and more things. I have a lot more to add to my schedule. I have to do it carefully and wisely, but to have control that God gave us to subdue life, you won't get past a schedule. You'll always struggle until you put it on paper. I hope this is an encouragement to you and a help. Let's pray. Father, please use this one truth tonight. Lord, I know it's so basic.